believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got sold. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you are listening to this live or on podcast. We'd like to thank you for joining us for another edition of Brother to Brother with Dr. Nate Chapman and Dr. Keelan Hinton. We are here for all of your mental health, love, relationship, community, family, and attachment needs. For those that would like to participate in the show, you can contact us at B2B Psych. That's B, the number 2B, Psych, P-S-Y-C-H, B2B Psych at gmail.com. As we always say, we'd like to thank Marshall University as well as WMUL for giving us this platform to talk about mental health issues, family issues, relationship issues, and everything else in between. But as we always say, any of the questions, comments, suggestions, or perspectives that you hear on this radio show are not supported by Marshall University, are not supported by WMUL, any of their sponsors, affiliates, or supporters. But these are the sole perspectives and ideas of myself, Dr. Keelan Hinton, as well as Dr. Nate Chapman. So as we always say, take this advice at your own risk. And while some of this may be therapeutic, Dr. Chapman loves to remind us what?
Yes, folks, it's not therapy. It definitely is not going to be therapy today. We're talking about our thoughts on things for sure. But just keep it in mind. You know, you can be trying to say, you know, you spoke with your therapist during the radio show on Wednesday night.
All right. So we are going to dive right in and we are going to rock and roll. And if you are connected to either of our Facebook feeds, we thought today, last week was a great segue to talk about some issues with dating and relationships. But before we get to relationships, we don't want to put the cart before the horse. Let's first talk about, even before you get into a relationship, which hopefully you do, we'll talk about the process of dating. One, is there a process? What is that process? What does that process look like? Is there a good way? Is there a bad way to do it? Is there a healthy or an unhealthy way to do it? Are there things you can do and you should do that will increase the probability and the prospect of success? Are you doing things in the process of dating that you set yourself up for failure? So we'll attack and give attention to a lot of these questions. But first and foremost, again, we'll talk about dating and we'll talk about it just like we remember life as pre and post COVID. And I hate speaking about getting older as if it's a disease like COVID.
Right.
But is there a difference? What do you think about this, Dr. Chapman? We'll throw this out here. Is there a difference in dating, say, before 30 and 35 and after 30 or 35? Is there a difference? What are those differences?
Yeah, you know, I think there definitely is. And I think there might be a tier after the 30s also. But I think it's good to focus on the 30s for our conversation today. Because I think when you're dating prior to 30, you know, you're in that young category. You're in that, you know, just coming into adulthood, just embracing adulthood. And there's just a whole bunch of, I think there's a whole bunch of opportunities for you to meet people that are built into our social stratosphere, you know, depending on what you choose in life. You know, like When you're in high school, you're in high school. You're with somebody, you know, you meet people while you're in the school system. If you go on, you do traditional college, and even if you don't do college, I remember when I was younger and I was in my 20s, late 20s, but I was in one of these jobs where we really had a good, like, group of young people. We used to get together, used to do things. Now, I'm not saying that can't happen when you're older, but most of the people were kind of single. Like, there was lots of space to get together and do things, whether it's high school or college or groups or, you know, to me, that seemed to be, I'm not saying older people don't get together, but they usually are, you know, getting together coupled in some way or some other things. It's not, that's just my thought.
Yeah. I think when you're, I don't know. I'm trying to think, or what were the differences in the way I did things in my 20s, the way I did things in my 30s? I don't know. As you get older, I think the dating landscape changes because you have more responsibilities and ties to other things that you didn't when you was 20.
Yeah.
When you're younger, you don't really have a whole lot of responsibility. A lot of times you might not have a mortgage or a house note or a car note. You don't have a whole lot of responsibilities. And you don't have you don't have a career.
Yeah.
You might be delivering pizzas, and no disrespect to anybody delivering pizzas. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying,
I deliver pizzas. No, not for sure.
Yeah, and I've done everything. But when you're young, a lot of times you probably still staying in your mama's basement. You might be staying in a dorm. You got a friend with a roommate. You got a roommate. You just thinking about making pizza and beer money for the weekend so you can go hang out and kick it. Like, I think that the responsibilities that you have in life, that and people that you're attached to and the dependence that you have or don't have, all play an important part in how you think about dating.
Yeah.
Everybody's young. A whole lot of people might not have kids. Maybe they do. I don't know. Another show for another day. But once you hit your 30s, we got to go to work. You want to hang out when? I got to go to work. I got to be at work. What do you mean? Or, so it's like, I got to go to work. I got to be at work. You got kids. You got to bring your kids. And babysitter. I got to pay for the babysitter to take you out. Like, there are all these things that you have to try to negotiate and juggle. And I noticed that as I've gotten older, I have become more of a realist about what you're about.
Yeah.
When you young, you think relationships, and this is, I really don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings out there, but when you young, you think relationships are about love, and that is destroyed as you get older.
You out here shattering the Disney realm of people's lives.
Yeah, you when you young, you truly believe that love will conquer all. Uh-huh. And as you get older and you have some experiences and you get some bumps and bruises and you've tried to make people love you who wouldn't love you, or people have tried to make you love them, or people have tried to make you someone that you haven't been. All of this kind of stuff happens in our 20s. So as you get older and you try to date, I would hope that most people start to become a little more realistic. At least I know I have.
Yeah.
I've realized that now that I'm older. And I'm well past my 30s. I'm not 30. Well past 30. You start to realize, do we have to be together all the time for real? Do we really have to be in each other's face? Do you have to be in my face? Boy, go do something. You know, my sister quick to be like, boy, go find something to do. Why are you in my face? Why are you looking at me? But when you're young, I love to see young couples. I like to see when they go out to eat, they be touching each other. They be all kissy-kissy. Yeah.
Well, and I like sitting next to my partner when I have one, but it's different, though.
Man, look. I love looking at old couples. They ain't holding hands. They ain't touching. You ain't even know they together because the dude is just walking. He just walking in front of her. They ain't even walking together. They sit down. They eat. They pay and they leave. It's like, young couple, they all need to, I love looking at their puppy love. I love you. No, I love you first. No, I love you more. They're all in each other's grill. And I'd be like, oh, we going to see if y'all, that's going to change in about 10 years. Because it always does. You don't realize, I think that listen, I'm not saying, I'm joking, but I'm being facetious. I'm not saying that love isn't important. But it's not, in my opinion, in my estimation, it is not the most important thing in relationship. You can learn to love anybody if there's mutual trust and respect. And if you're around anybody long enough, you can learn to love anybody. Now, what love is and how we define it, I think that at least, I think that if we grow mature and you have some experiences, that changes from your 20s to 30s. At least it has for me, and it has for the people in my circle. The way we think about love and what love is and what we would do for love. Oh, my God. How many people have you cried over in your 20s? How many people have you yelled and screamed over, fought over? In your 20s, you do all kinds of stuff for love. You think it's supposed to conquer all. As we get older, hopefully we become a little bit more realistic. And we understand that it's important, but it's not necessarily the glue that holds relationships together.
Right. I think, all right, but I think that's an additional difference between pre-30s and post-30s. You know, I think in general, you have more opportunities to be mature. That's one. But I think the other thing, that it's not always necessarily a good thing. It could be dependent on, you know, that person's ability to be introspective, is that you've been scarred a lot more by that age. Now, I think that that could go either way, you know, because you've been scarred, you know, like when you was in your 20s, you was like maybe a little bit naive. You're like, oh yeah, you know, we gonna be together forever and ever, and like you know,
is that the voice that was in your head? We gonna be together forever.
Love that content. What could happen if you've been scarred enough, you got enough scar tissue, is that you really have difficulty in those, in that 30 phase, and more so than you had in your 20s because you've been scarred so much.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's, I would love to, perspective is everything. And do you use, I wonder, do most people choose to use those experiences to grow and evolve? You know what? I'm going to get a little bit philosophical here. Love is absolutely the dope. Love is the absolutely the strongest crack that there ever is. And for those listening, what is this thing? Like, I continue to say, love, you know, my quote, I haven't published it yet. If you steal it, if anybody does steal it, I'm gonna get you. I continue to say that my thing that I say all the time is love. I you've heard me say it before. Love is like gravity. We don't know. We have no idea what gravity is. We know what it does to people. We know what gravity does. We know what it does to things. We know how things react to it. But what it is, we don't know. We don't know what love is. All we know is what it makes people do. How it makes people feel, how it makes people act and respond to the world. How potent is this thing that we keep chasing it no matter how badly we've been hurt? We will continue to try relationships. Now, we will get in relationship. I think, look, think of it. It's like this. How many people pay to sit on your couch for you to help them and they fight you every step of the way? That's the oddest thing that I've, that has to be the oddest thing about therapy for me, is that people will pay. They have requested me. They will pay and they will fight me every step of the way. Because something inside of them tells them this is something that they need, but they still have this reflex to protect themselves because of bad experiences. Love is the same way. No matter how badly we get hurt, there's something inside of us that continues to make us chase it.
Yeah, and I think there's so many things to that. You know, it's not like love is like a tree that can, you know, can give in lots of different ways if it's experienced in a fruitful way. And
I like what you did there, tree and fruitful. I like what you did there.
The one of the reasons that it's people chase it because people need it, right? And you know, sometimes it's because of lack and a whole bunch of other things, even though they could be filling in some places and not filling in a romantic life. But I think in addition to that, there's the elusive, like, what is love, hard to define. But I think the other thing that gets hard is that we, even though we may not exactly know how to define it, we might have some standards in our head that equate to love that may not equate to love for every person we know. For example, I've worked with people who say, who get real upset when their partner won't eat with them. And because that eating to them, when you dig into, like, why is that a big deal? Like, one partner might say, well, you know, I didn't eat with you because I was going out to do some errands and I got hungry. And so I ate when I was out. And the other partner's like, well, I was waiting for you to eat and we didn't eat. And it hurt me that you ate while you was out and you didn't think about me. And in that whole scenario, however other people think about it, there's some element of what love means to that person. Love means you sacrificing yourself, waiting to get here so that we can eat and be together. And that's something that is not been expressed to this partner. But when it doesn't happen, it's an attack against love. So besides the elusive definition of love, there's all of these, what we believe love is for whatever reasons, Disney, what we've seen in our life, what we haven't gotten. And I'm not saying that is or isn't love, but that's what makes it even more complicated than just like this term that we can't really capture of love. There's all these other things that we think are that complicate the relationship.
And we all have, and we've discussed this before, we all come from different families, different cultures. We have different experiences, and all of those things shape the way we think love should look.
Right.
You know, but if we're just comparing pre-30 and post-30 years old, I think a larger part of the way, things that influence the way we think about love, things that influence how we date, like you said, are those scars, are those experiences, and a lot of maturity, a lot of identity development too. When you're in your 20s, you don't know who you are, but you think that you do. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why so many, I think, marriages fail. It's because you get married in a space and a place that you don't know who you are. Like, there are people right now. You're not the same person at 30 that you was at 25. You're not the same person at 25 that you was at 21. So you messed around and you got married at 25 or 26. You woke up at 32. And you're a completely different person and they're a completely different person. And you wake up and you roll over one day and you go, who are you? And who am I? And how did I get this? But like all young couples, the first thing that young couples do is, the first thing they do is hurry up and have a baby. To hurry up and solidify their marriage and solidify themselves as a family. So now, I got a baby. We got a kid. We got 401k. We just got it. We got a little house. I'm stuck.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, obviously, you know, everybody knows as they're listening, this can be complicated, but I just wanted to point out some things that I'm thinking about with that. Identity is so interesting. I know that's your jam. It's so interesting because I think in the 20s, you have one, you know, a subset of the population that thinks they know who they are. But then I think you have another subset. And I, in my mind, and I could be wrong, I'm geared to say that this might have a stronger influence on some females. You have this subset of identity that is wrapped up in marriage, which basically says, I am who I am once I get married. And then once they get married, there's this realization that, oh, I thought that was going to complete me and make, that's been like the big thing that I've been waiting for that's going to make me, it's going to give me my extra ring of success or whatever it is. And it's not. And then there's this like a little bit of disappointment, I think, sometimes. You know, obviously I'm not a woman, but I'm going based on what I've heard from couples and people I work with in therapy and what they've told me and just giving an anecdote from that. And then, okay, so if this is not it, then the next step is the child, you know? And obviously there is identity in being a parent. You have a whole identity to it. But what can happen is when you get into that identity, that's a real part of your identity where you become mother or father, that you forget about the other part where you wasn't sure. And you don't remember it until a later point in life that, oh, you know what? I actually never really was too sure about who I was and this, and that's what I just went into. But then, you know, it's almost the same effect people have when they retire from a job. Like, oh, shoot, like, who am I now? What next? Yeah. When a child leaves the house.
Lord, we finna get into it now. Okay, you had to bring up women. I do believe that that's different for men than it is for women. Because I think women are taught to wrap themselves up in their families are their identity. I think that women are made to believe that their families are identity more so than men. Like, typically, women sacrifice themselves for the family. Like, dad might not play golf as much as he used to, but he don't give it up. He still go. That's why, like, when marriages and relationships end, everybody's hurt and devastated. But I think that women are hurt and devastated in a different way because they're taught to sacrifice all of who they are for the family.
Yeah.
Like, mamas, everybody go out there and kiss your mama because your mama had goals and values and dreams. And she was told that, you know what I mean? None of that don't mean nothing, baby. If you ain't married and you ain't got kids, what is wrong with you? So she's shocked. I think you're exactly right. They sacrifice all of who they are. And then when those marriages or relationships don't work, I think that women are devastated in a different way because it's been we up until this point. Right. It's been we. And I never had the opportunity to focus on me. It all became we because I had to wipe up after these kids. And then I had to help him along the way. And then I sacrificed so he could go to school to better his career because he had a better job to make more money or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I'm not, but it's something typical that we see. So that's why when it's over, who am I? Like you said, like a pro athlete, it's over. Who am I? Because I've been a we for so long, I never even focused on me.
Right. Yeah. And I, you know, again, we're not women, so we don't know from your perspective, but we are professionals and we do see people that come in. I work primarily with couples. So it is something that is seen, and not just with when relationships end. I see it in relationships that are still formed. You know, sometimes I have people that are coming in for individual, and they're like, "Yeah, I've been married for this period of time, but I don't really know who I am."
Yeah,
you know, and all this what led to this was the point about identity development during those 20s. And again, that is a part of who you are, and a valuable part of who you are. I'm just saying the problem is in order to fully grasp that part, you forgot you were still grappling with figuring out the other part of who you are. You never really figured that out before you jumped to this other part.
Yeah. So why did you even go and get in a relationship and get married in the first place when you didn't even know who you was? Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, but when you're in your 20s, you're not thinking like that. You're thinking, I need to go ahead and be with this person and solidify this relationship because I don't know if I'll ever find this again. When you don't realize it's a whole lot of cats out there just like this one that you got. There are a lot of really good men out there and a lot of really good women out there. And like when you're young, you feel like I'll never feel this like this again. It feels like your world. And when you hit when I hit my 30s and I got 35, when I hit my 30s and 35s, even when I hit 40, I started to realize if I'm talking to somebody that don't work out, it's sad, but guess what? The sun is going to rise. Mm-hmm. And I will move forward and I will find happiness. And there are other really nice, successful, great people that I can connect with. You know what I'm saying? But you don't think like that in your 20s. You're in a hurry to get married.
Right. Yeah. And I think the other thing that comes on, you know, we think about men and how it works, you know, There's this mindset of based on society about what should happen. Even though in my opinion, I think a good number of men are not like yippee about getting married, but some are, of course. But they are about going through with standards, you know, having a kid, having a family, you know, particularly if they're religious, you know what I'm saying? Like they want to make sure they do the right thing, you know, nothing wrong with doing the right thing. And there are plenty of couples that have married early and went on and been able to be successful in the relationship. But in some of those relationships, people had to discover themselves in, like they had to build the plane while they were on it. And that's why it's been successful, because whatever, their partner gave them the space to do that.
Boy, that's church right there. You need to say that again. You need to write that down. Build the plane while you ride it. Because that is exactly what happens when you don't know who you are and you don't have a strong sense of self and you're still in the process of finding yourself. You literally building the plane or the boat in the midst of why you are sailing it. And you just trying to figure it out. And that's a hard, hard process. And people have to realize you're going to have bumps and bruises. You know, I told you, and I remember you said, I remember once we had a conversation similar to this. And I was like, I think if you're a young couple, young couples need to call each other to the carpet every couple of years and go, hey, are you still getting what you need from me? Are you still getting what you need from this relationship? Do you still like me? Am I still the person that you thought you would be with? Or am I growing in a way that you still connect with? And you was like, every 2 years, they probably need to have it every 2 months.
Yeah.
Like, people change. Like, people change. And if you wait 2 years, a whole lot of stuff can. And that completely changed the way I thought about having that type of conversation. Because, like you said, like, think about it. Like, all that could happen in 2 years. Somebody has changed in, like, every 2 or 3 years. Like, I could be miserable for a long time. So right. It's like, that needs to be an on, but I got your point, this idea of that should be an ongoing conversation, because people are constantly changing and constantly evolving. And you, yeah. Most of that growth and change happens in your 20s. Like, people don't report finding a strong sense of self until somewhere around their early 30s.
So
if anybody listening, we're not saying don't cancel the wedding if you already sent out the invitations. It's not what we're saying. But we're saying, realistically, not just, like, empirically speaking, research shows, like, we've surveyed and talked to thousands upon thousands of people that they feel like they don't find themselves until they're 30. If you're getting married when you're 25 or 26, a lot of times people just realize you're going to change. And you're shooting dice, hoping that you guys grow in the same direction. So...
probably you will grow in the same direction. Well, you got to be intentional about how you grow. And so we're not saying that you can't grow. I mean, the start of the conversation was comparing dating when you're pre-30 to post-30, which brings us to, like, the bonuses. So I think when you're dating after 30, depending on your mindset, you might feel, all right, and I'm just going to speak to how some people might feel. I'm sure some people don't feel like this. But some people feel like, they're leftovers at that point, minus the people that are, you know, work to the point where they've gotten to their 30s and haven't really had anybody and they've just been ambitious. But I think the ones that have had something, like they had a relationship, it didn't work, they had a marriage, it didn't work. I think at 30, they're feeling like, man, I'm like the reserves now. I'm, you know, I'm kind of garbage. You know, like, you know what I'm saying? You see the memes that say the dating pool is a pool set that a couple people
have. Dr. Chapman. Let me give a station identification. Lord have mercy. Station identification. This is WMUL 88.1 FM, Marsh University on your dial. This is Brother to Brother with Dr. Nate Chapman, who is absolutely wide open this evening. Dr. Nate Chapman and Dr. Keelan Hinton, and we're talking about relationships. More specifically, we're talking about the dating phase. And more, even more specific than that, we're talking about dating pre-30 versus post-30. And Dr. Chapman was telling us about this idea of how people in their 30s are leftovers. I'm sorry.
I did not say they're leftovers. I said they might feel like they're leftovers. Because, you know, you got the ones that have been really ambitious and they intentionally didn't hook up with any. But I'm just saying, I want to speak to it. I think there are some that feel like that, particularly the ones that have been married or had a relationship that didn't work out. They feel that way. And what I was getting to was the bonus about this stage is that you have had an opportunity to learn more about yourself and get past that 20s and you had to figure it out through relationships. So that's like the bonus.
Yeah. Let's have. Okay, for those listening, Dr. Chapman, help us. Should your attitude be different about dating and about yourself post-30 as opposed to pre-30? When you're in your 20s, people look at you with all the potential in the world to be a great partner.
Yeah.
Post-30, well, you done messed up your credit. And you got a couple kids, might even have a baby mama. You got an ex that's kind of crazy. After 30 and we've lived life, we got a little baggage.
Yeah.
Should we take more of a grateful perspective? Or should we still say, I know what. Turn on our, all of us turn on our Beyonce and talk about what I'm worth. What say you?
Listen, I think it's a combination of, you got to have a little bit of humble suit. So, I mean, you got to recognize that, you know, hey, something didn't go as well as you'd like. Or if you're in a situation, because there are some people in their 30s that have chosen to be for whatever. But I'll tell you my honest truth about that. If I'm talking to someone who is in their 30s and they tell me they've never had some form of committed relationship, I have some questions. Like, I'm wondering, like, you know, okay, so you lived all this period of your life and you ain't had no committed relationship.
What's That's wrong just with me. You?
I'm not even saying what's wrong with you, but like, maybe you got something that is for, you know, you're not going to tell me that it was just school, it was just work, it was your ambition. I'm not believing none of that because I'm ambitious and I know plenty of cats are who've been in relationships. So it'd be hard for me to believe that. But coming back to this idea, you need, because if you're like, oh, you know, I'm the best to ever do it, and that's why these relationships keep not working. All right, that's, come on, you know, like, it's going to require some honesty. Like, the relationships usually do have two streaks to them. There's no way that it was always just that one person. Now, that doesn't mean that you couldn't have had, you know, because people have some extreme situations, abuse and different things like that. But Even if it's not that, there has to be some, you got to think about something. You know, somebody told me something, it's even hard for me to swallow thinking about my own histories. It's like, well, if I want to know something about you, all I got to do is ask you some questions about who you've dated in the past. Because who you've dated in the past is a reflection about you to some degree. The trick is to not get hung up on that and be like, oh, I'm like the worst ever because I dated this person, I did that. Because then you're going to be stuck. You know, like, it makes me think of my dog. I walk my dog sometimes. My dog is easily distractible. We're walking, you know what I'm saying? Stay focused. I'm trying to get this walk out of the way. And my dog will, like, turn his head backwards. And when he turns his head backwards, like, he's a big, strong boy. I can't get him to get focused. So if you got your head stuck too far in the past, you can't move forward. But you do have to recognize what happened in the past to move forward. So you got to have his balance.
I think that comes with a perspective that, it's almost like you're assuming that people are willing to be open and blame themselves for their failures, and no one is going to do that.
I don't even like the word blame. It's just recognize that there was a process.
It's somebody's fault. No one. When I meet people, I have never met anyone that we have sat and talked about their relationships and this woman told me, man, I got a trail of dead bodies, and I know that a lot of it is my fault. Now, to be clear, I am not saying that women don't take responsibility. Wink, wink. But what I'm saying is, I have never, and this is actually, we get in the man cave, and guys, please do not take my man card. This is actually something that men talk about in our secret meetings when we meet in this cave, where we talk about women because we know it's not safe to talk about these things in public. A lot of men feel like women don't take responsibility for failures in relationships. It's always the dude's fault in some kind of way. So it's like, no one, I'm being tongue-in-cheek and I'm being facetious here, but typically none of us, we always blame the other person. Most people aren't that introspective. Most people aren't that conscious to look at their past and think it's always what somebody did to me. And if I did something wrong, it was always in reaction to something that they did, even if it's they didn't love me enough or they didn't. So like having the wherewithal to learn from your mistakes in your 20s so you could be better in your 30s is a big thing for people who can do that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it is very hard. It's definitely not an easy path because nobody likes to be criticized. And I think for many people, the hardest critic actually is yourself, even if you camouflage yourself from it and don't realize it. But I think the other thing is depending on, so in the 20s, if you're now 30s single, it's possible that you were married. So now you got to throw around that ugly divorce word, which depending on who you are, you may not even like sharing that's a fact for you. You know what I'm saying? Because there's like, it's like a scarlet letter. It's like a scarlet letter in some reasons, because what people attach to it who have been in like marriages that have been successful is that, oh, you are, right? And so you got to combat that somehow. Well, no, it wasn't me. It was her. It wasn't me. It was him. You know, like these are the things that you are doing, I guess, I think automatically because you starting out defensive because you know that scarlet letter is on you.
Yeah. Good point. Who's in a better position dating in their 30s, men or women?
Well, okay, y'all. I think it's men. All right. I know it's going to be some women who maybe feel different about it.
We put a strong disclaimer on this one before we did it.
Feel free to come in and talk to us about it because I'm going to give you my logic on that reason. So okay. as men get older, right, I think for a lot of women in our society, what they tend to bank on, and because society has trained them to bank on it that way, is the way that they look. Well, some women age well.
Oh, you finna go there. This gonna be
I'm just saying, others do not. I mean, I know there's lots of things you do. I know your ladies be like doing lots of things to hide some things. You got it up right, you got extra wigs, you got like a whole bunch of different things to trick a brother.
He's showing out tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm just saying, but in general, those things are what society's put value on. And I think there are a number of men that put some value on that. But then the other thing that happens is they put more value on it when they're younger. So what happens is we start thinking with our other head as we get older, right? So we're younger, like, oh, we go for the okey-doke. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, yeah, whatever, because we're just a little bit more naive. But once we get a little older, we start to think, well, even if you keep your looks, well, you're pretty, but what else? I mean, there's got to be something else. I kind of got hurt by that other person. This is just me speaking how I think. You know, you don't have to agree with this, but I think that there are a number of men that do.
So men are in a better position dating older than women.
Let me say that further. It's their mindset has changed, and then I think the financial opportunities. And just keeping in place that if you have kids, and we know in those situations, women are more likely to be the one that gets the kids, even though there might be a situation where there's child support or not, but still, that's you having to be the one who holds the kids. If you don't get child support, then you have the financial situation where you have to take care of the kids. And if this man is in a regular job situation, he's going to be going up for promotion, and because of the way society is, he's probably going to be making more than you make. I'm saying in general, these aren't definite facts, but this is just my thought. What do you think?
You see him try to slide out of that one. No, I'm joking, but I think there's a lot of truth. I think that as we get older, people have kids. And this is not me placing judgment on it. This is just an observation. If I'm an older man, a lot of times men, if they have kids, they don't have them. So they have more leeway and freedom. I think that as men get older, they are more attractive to older women and younger women. Mm-hmm. So I make this joke. Well, I'm older now, but when I was a little bit younger than I am, I'm like, I'm in this. I was in a cool space. I could date you or your mama. Like guys in that space, guys joke about that space because older women find you attractive and younger women find older men attractive because they want security, and they tired of the games. Because they done been dogged out by so many of these younger cats out here who playing games when they don't realize, especially with younger men, it's some cats out there that is dogs, don't get me wrong. But a lot of times, a lot of that is behavior of a young man trying to find himself, trying to find masculinity, trying to define masculinity, trying to feel like a man in all the wrong ways. How many girls can I get? Not really realizing that honesty really is your friend. A lot of times, the more honest you are with a woman, she will respect it, and you'd be surprised at what people will be down with. But younger women are looking for security, and they tired of playing games with younger dudes. Older women, they've had these experiences, and maybe relationships didn't work out. They found themselves, maybe they've established a career or something like that. They got themselves together and they looking for a second run at a real relationship. So as a man, as an older man, you want a sweet spot. You in a good spot. You in the, as they say, the catbird seat. I could date you or I could date your mama. Like, and we don't have all of that baggage. And I don't mean, when I say baggage, I don't mean to speak about kids in that way. But I mean, we have a lot of more leeway to shake and move, because if we do have kids, if the kid's there, a lot of times they typically stay with their mother. So I can shake and move. If I want to go on a date, I don't have to find a babysitter. Women have to find a babysitter. My kids got stuff. Oh, so-and-so, you know, little Teresa got something to go to, and I got to take so-and-so to practice. And so it's just like, it's just, I think, I wonder if it's harder for older women than it is for older men in that regard.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And then I also think, or when coming with that possibility of getting kind of hitting both ages, like that mid-20s, late 30s, 40s, late even early 50s, you got two different dynamics that, you know, the younger girls that maybe have experienced some things that, you know, dealing with these young cats that aren't stable yet.
Yeah.
Right. And then if they want some security, they have an opportunity to get that. But I think the benefit for the older guy that's not going to be as vulnerable as the younger guy is, okay, now you, even if you happen to be the girl who's wanted just security, we're not as susceptible as the younger cat is to that. Yeah. Because we realize, like, oh, okay, well, you know, if you happen to be a six-figure cat and older, you ain't gonna be as susceptible as you would have if you were a six-figure cat younger.
Yeah.
Because you're gonna be like, oh, I've lived some things. I've learned some things. You know what? Well, I got some options. Like, okay, you know, all right, you're not the only thing out there. You know, like, that's okay. Anyways, so I think that's another thing that increases the options for the older man as opposed to the woman. And then the other thing is, I think for the older woman, whether she would want to admit or not, she might feel the competition of the younger woman.
Oh.
I'm just saying, like, you know, this is how age and
wellness. I'm with you. No, I'm with you.
Make so much money.
I'm with you. I am absolutely with you. And I don't, again, we're not women and we can't speak for women, obviously. But again, we're just speaking for what we've seen. What we've seen on the couch, women who we've worked with and relationship stuff that we've dealt with. That is a real thing. Now, I don't know if anybody want to talk about it. I don't know if people have even thought about it. But is this a real, is there competition? And more specifically, this notion or idea that are younger women a threat? Do older women feel like young women are a threat? Now, if anybody would be real about that or honest about that, I know I've heard that from couples that I've worked with. I've heard that fear from wifey. Him going to work and some secretary or some new somebody, this fear of being upgraded. I kind of mentioned that last week, but I've heard that several times in people that I've worked with.
Right.
In relationships.
New booty Judy.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, worried about big booty Judy at work. Like, for real, that is a real thing. Now, again, I can hear people seething through the airwaves and upset now, but...
This is a man cave. You have been invited into the man cave. What you expect in the man cave?
I'm just, you know, again, I think that sometimes people look at it as a, and somebody's going to look at it as a slap in the face that we talked about women and this idea of security. And it's like when you say that, it's like women are like, those were old times. We're not like that anymore. And that's so archaic. I just honestly believe that, again, there are some things that for whatever reason are just etched. I don't know why. I'm talking about the everyday average woman out there in the street. Everyday average woman. This idea of security is a real thing, especially if you're going to have kids. It matters. It should matter who you date. Money should matter. You will never hear me say that money shouldn't matter. You will never hear me say it's shallow if she is concerned about how much a man makes that she's dating. You will never hear me say that. You want to know why? Because if you have kids by this cat, you need to make sure that you with somebody or you having kids with somebody that can help you provide and protect for these kids. So this notion or idea that somebody should just love you because, you know, because you're putting together a mixtape. You know what I'm saying? Stop. Man, you better go get a job. You know, and Kevin Samuel said this once, something to this effect. That I agree, and this notion, and I've heard other people who spoke on men talk about this. Like, if you ain't got no drive or no motive job, and you ain't trying to get no job, do you deserve to date? Like, for real, what do you have to offer? For real, that sounds bad, but you know what I'm saying. Like, that's something to think about.
I saw this thing on Facebook the other day, and it was a woman who, she's on food stamps. I mean, nothing really wrong with that, but she wants to date. And what she was basically saying, she was going back and forth with what she was saying. But she was saying she needs someone to take care of her, but then like she would take care of her own. But the basic vibe she was given is this person gonna have to come in and take care of me and my kids. And the person, it was a female that was talking to her, and she was basically saying like, well, what are you gonna do? Like, how long are you gonna be, you know, in that situation? And her whole point was, however your situation is, however your situation. But if you're trying to, look, I've heard guys say this, and it's been unacceptable to some women. You know, they would be like, hey, we should get married. And the guy would say, well, you know, I'm not in a stable job yet. I don't know that we should. To me, that seems wise. Okay, you're not in a stable job yet. Wait till you get some stable income. That seems like a smart idea. And I think that was essentially what this woman was trying to ask. She wasn't trying to judge her for a situation, but is this a situation where you should be going into dating right now? And I guess that's hard, because that don't mean you don't want love just because you're in a tough situation. But if your expectation is this man is going to come, first of all, you need to be real if that's your expectation. Like, she was waffling. She was like, no, but yeah, but no. Like, look, girl, like, if that's what you want, you need to say, like, that's what you're going to use your looks for. Be honest that that's what you're hoping for. But there is times where you got to look at your situation and say, am I ready for this? Would that be fair to my partner?
I think that a man, if we are using society's standards as our barometer, I think a man should say that before a woman should say that. Because society looks at it as it is a man's job to provide and protect. So if you don't have what it takes to provide and protect, should you be out here trying to date and you know that you can't provide and protect? Whereas a woman, I still think as a society, we don't view it as a woman's responsibility to do that. So, like, think about it. If a woman don't have a job, we don't look at her as a failure as a person. If a man ain't got a job, he's a bum. What are you doing? Okay. Why don't you have a job?
All right, but here's my counter to that. She has children. So it's not like, you know what I'm saying, it'd be totally different. And I understand there are going to be guys that do a whole bunch of range of this. I'm going to take care of you and your three kids. I'm going to take care of you. But in her situation, whether she dates, this is the thing that gets me, whether she dates this guy or not, she does have kids. So, like, she was asking her other questions, like, who's going to babysit your kids when you go? I don't know yet. They're going to have to come with us. Like, okay, so, like, these are other things, you know?
Yeah, yeah. She sounds like she bad off. Real bad off. But our original question again, who's women? So are we saying that women in their 30s, from a male perspective, women in their 30s are really behind the eight ball when they try to date as they get older, especially if they have kids? So do you feel like, and again, for those listening, we aren't talking about us, but we're talking about male culture in general. Do men look at women who are older and have kids as liabilities? Again, not you. Do we feel like men feel like if she's over 30 and she got kids and she got, maybe she's been divorced or maybe she's got a father-kid situation going on, all that, is all that a liability for men? Like, does that ward men away?
Okay, so anyway, we got to clarify, you know, we're speaking for men in general. We know that not all men think alike, but just giving your perspective in the man case. But I also want to say on that, when we were talking about this originally, we're talking about if women are at a disadvantage, we're talking about a disadvantage compared to older men. So, like, that don't mean, because I do think that so many people get stuck up. The reason they don't date is because they feel like I said, like, they're garbage now. I don't necessarily believe that, but I do think you need to know what you're going against. The same way that if you happen to be, you know, a minority in this world and you're going into certain places, you have to recognize that somebody's going to maybe hold something against you because of the way you look. It's not fair, but you should be aware that this could be happening. So I think that's how you should think about it. Now, when it comes to women with children, I think it comes down to what you're doing and what kind of woman you are. Like, if you want the traditional man that's going to take care of everything, then he's got to account for all of the new bills. You're like, oh man, you just called this kid a bill. Okay, but if you got two kids, somebody who is about their finances, they're gonna be accounting for where all their money is gonna go, right? Like, anybody who is, you want a man who's responsible with their money, right? So if they're responsible with their money, they should account for how much money they have, regardless of how much money they have. Right? It's not like, oh, because you ball out, you don't care how much money you're using. If you've ever met anybody who has serious money who is responsible with their money, they're still aware of it. They're still like, oh, well, you know, I'm still going to get coupons. I don't care if I'm balling like this. I got this in the Lambo. I paid for that through this particular process. That's how I got that. And that's what you would want. So they're going to account for everything, right? And that means that these kids are going to have to be accounted for. Now, depending on what you bring in, besides those kids, is going to determine if you're going to be a liability or not. You say, if you're saying like, oh, that's it. Like, I'm just bringing me and my kid and that's it. Like, you know, God love me because I'm a dime piece, you know, whatever. I mean, that's a liability. Like, I mean.
Yes or no? Older women with kids are in competition for older men with younger women.
Are in competition for?
Should older women who've been divorced or they're older, that's one, and they have kids, should they see themselves in competition for older men with younger women? How do they get an edge on the competition? You're going to answer this question before we get out there, too.
Let me put that the way I see it. So the way I see that is, okay, so you got a 40-year-old man. Let's just say the woman is 40. Let's make her younger, 35, because 40-year-old kids might be close to grown. They're close to grown. They're not going to be a problem. So 35, maybe got a 10-year-old and a 5-year-old. I think that's reasonable for a 35-year-old to have. And then there's a 30-year-old that maybe has a 5-year-old. Okay, well, I mean, it is possible that 30-year-old is going to be looked at first because there's not as many bills to consider. So yes to that.
So everything is a bill. Do you feel like men look at those kids as a bill? I don't think they look at it as a bill. I think that men look at it like the men that I know, when they see women, when they date women with children, they go, man, do I really feel like sitting at all these T-ball games all over again? I did this with my kid. She got a kid that's 7. Do I really feel like going to practices and going to travel ball and sitting at T-ball? And do I really feel like raising children again? That is the one thing that I hear from older men is, can I do this at 40? Can I do this all over again from scratch at 45?
If you haven't done it, it's even harder if you haven't done it. But then, okay, so when I say bill, this is how I translate bill. So time is money. And it's like that to a lot of men. So it's not necessary. I don't want to make it, and obviously I'm not speaking for all men, make men seem heartless like they won't care for your kid. But somebody who is really about to care for your kid is going to recognize all of the cost. So if time is money, then the time you got to spend with this kid and raising these kids, more than one, are bills. Because that's time you got to take away from the work.
Yeah.
Right? Assuming that this person has a type of job that requires some type of ambition, some type of work ethic, they're going to have to take, you got to lose somewhere. You got to pay somewhere. There's no way that you're going to have everything you want. Like, you know, I heard.
You need to put a pin in that, because that is something that, that is a point that we have to come back to, is that is something that couples don't realize. Either you want me or you want a nice life, but you can't have both.
Yeah.
You're going to lose somewhere. So put a pin in it, because we have to come back to that and we have to hip people to that realization. I'm sorry, go ahead. Just, I didn't want to lose that. That is such an important point that we have to get to, that people need to realize. And I think sometimes that is something that men get from women. You can't have both. I could be here all the time, but I'm not going to make a whole lot of money while I'm sitting up here holding hands with you.
Exactly. When I heard it described in Kevin Hart's comedian show, basically he said, you know, I could be out here making this money, or we could be having good sex, but we can't do both. We got to do one or the other. So it's the same kind of thing, but multiply that even more, because sex is one thing. You know, you have all these elements that you're going to want in a relationship. And I'm not saying you got to sacrifice all, but when it comes to kids and family and the way, so we think, you know, women really want family to be a certain way. It's not necessarily that man doesn't want family, but to that man, if particularly if he's traditional, the way to make sure you have a solid family is to have all of what's needed to provide. So if you tell me I got to snip some of that to go to these T-ball games, I'm not saying the man won't want to do it. You know, some, but you're going to lose. Where are you going to lose at? You can't be mad at that man who's coming to your T-ball game because he ain't making enough money on shifts. He can't. How can he? He can't do both.
Yeah. That's interesting. These are two really interesting perspectives that I think that they can both coexist. But what I hear from, we're going to get lit up for this one. But in general, I, again, this is not us. This is the reality of what we hear men say who are dating older women. And again, I consistently hear, can I do this again? And I'm saying this again to make a statement off of this. Men say, can I do this? Do I want to do this? Or at 35? Do I want to be raising somebody else's kids? Do I want to be dealing with somebody's daddy? And is there going to be a problem with this kid's father? Or these his kids, he need to be providing for them. Why am I paying for all this stuff for somebody else's kids? Like, those are things. But the thing that I think happening for me is that I hear women, like women will hear this and they will say that they will act like there's something wrong with men for not wanting to raise somebody else's kids. Like, I see and hear people say it takes a real man to step up and be a stepfather for somebody else's kids. I think that isn't. Listen, I have a stepfather who is the only father that I know. Like I said, is amazing to me. He is my all. He is my king. That is the best man that I know in my life. He didn't have to do that. You know what I'm saying? He didn't have to love me like his own child, and he did. I hear people talk about men. If a man says he don't want to date you because you got kids, I hear women get mad. Why are you getting mad? Those are your kids. Those are your mistakes. Those are, and I hate to say mistakes, I'm saying those are the byproduct of your decisions. So why are you mad? And again, I'm cleaning it up. I don't mean that children are a mistake. A better way of saying it is those are the byproducts of your decisions. So why are you mad because someone else doesn't want to help you be responsible for your decisions?
Right. And I want to add this, and then we're coming up on time. I think that sometimes it's not so much that person that you're dating is not willing to be a father. I think sometimes it's not the way you envisioned it, because how or when your first situation that messed up your Disney vision, and now you expect this one to be just like that one was. There's multiple ways to be a good father, and y'all got to figure it out together. You can't just put your vision on him and expect that, you know, he doesn't fit that vision. Don't want to be a good father, but it might not look exactly what you think because you got to give up something somewhere.
Yeah, that's a really good point. If he doesn't be the type of father that you think he should be, then he's not loving, or he ain't doing it right, you know. But before we even get there, because remember, we're talking about dating in our 30, over in past 30. Is a man wrong if he don't want to date somebody with kids? I hear that all the time. And it's just like, I think what concerns me about it is the backlash that men get don't. Like, but them ain't his kids. Those are the byproducts of your decisions. And I think that if you do find a man that is willing to step up and be a father to your kids, that is an amazing thing. Like I said, because that is what my stepfather did. That is an amazing thing. But it's not a people say, well, if you take her, you got to take the kids too. I agree with that statement as well. I think that families are a package deal. If you're going to marry their mama, then yeah, you better be good to their mama, and you need to be a father. That is a package deal, and you need to accept that. But you also, that's something you need to think about before you marry this person. If I'm going to date you, you dating all of us. Just like I said, it's one of the reasons I'm single now. When I have dated people in the past, I've told people, my kids come first. The most you ever going to be is number three. Can you deal with that? You will never be more than number three to me, ever. Until my kids are grown and gone and on their own and got their jobs and all this kind of stuff. The most you'll ever be is number three. And I look at them in their face. And they say, okay, I'm fine with that. And then slowly.
And then women want to be number three. And they can't even be number two.
Yeah, I got two kids. The most you ever going to be is number three. So, like, slowly they start nipping away. You got to go to the... You just went to the practice yesterday. Do you gotta? Yeah, I gotta go. and now it's time for you to go because I told you what this was before we met. So it's just like, and I think that that's kind of that how women have to lay it down is I got two kids. Most you go, you know what I'm saying? Like, we a package.
Yeah, I think women understand that.
Yeah, I think that women understand that. I just don't think that, I think for me, I don't think it's fair that I've heard men get ridiculed because they don't want women with kids. And I don't know if I think that that's necessarily fair. We all make decisions, no matter how young you was when you made them, and these are the byproducts of them, is that somebody might not want to marry you. And that's just kind of how it is. Somebody will and somebody won't. And you can't get your feelings hurt because somebody don't want to deal with that situation that you put yourself in, no matter how young you was when you put yourself in that situation.
I mean, the way I see it, and that's really how it is in the dating world anyway, like we talked about, and hopefully we'll get to, I know we're on time now, that's how the dating world works. You know, some are going to be, you know, not with this, not with that, but you know what? We ain't got to all like the same kind of pudding, and just because you don't like that pudding don't mean you're a horrible person. Like, you get to choose if you like it or not. You can try it, like, oh, I don't like it. Okay, well, all right. You tried it.
on the pudding note, again, questions, comments, suggestions, ideas, be nice to us. Again, you have been invited to the man cave, and you are getting a male's perspective of the way we think that, not necessarily us, but the way we think that men see the world. So let us know what you think. Hit us up at b2bpsych@gmail.com, b the number 2 b psych, b2bpsych@gmail.com. Maybe when we get into this, maybe next week we will figure out how to splice you in. If you got any questions, comments, or suggestions, and you ain't gonna do no cussing or nothing, we'll figure out how to splice you into the show to give you, we'll give you 2 minutes to give a rebuttal, maybe. We'll figure out how to work people in and see what they think. but again, as always, we thank you for continuing to support the show. Again, as we always say, make sure you're doing something that sets your soul on fire. Make sure the people that you love know that you love them. And again, make sure that you are living a life that you're proud of and that's worth living. And peace and blessings to everyone out there. And as always, Dr. Chapman will take us out.
All right. So what I want to speak to today are the people who feel like you out there, you in the dating pool, and you feel like you in the pool and it's full of urine. And there ain't nothing in the pool for you. I just want to encourage you that whether you're a male or female, I think I'm going to speak to the females first because we've been talking a lot about that. You know, I do think that there are a lot of males that have some of the perspectives that we talked about tonight. But that doesn't mean there's not one or more than one out there that could be the one for you. The unfortunate thing about dating, whether you're male or female, is that you got to get in the pool. You got to swim around, see who's in it. That's the only way you're going to find out. You know, based on what you're doing and how you're deciding to live your life, it's not like, I know some people think, well, you know, Jesus is just going to put somebody at my yard. They're going, okay, I mean, he could do that. He almighty. Maybe he do that. But you probably also going to have to be proactive, and that means you're going to have to take some risk. And you know, when we take risk, sometimes things work out, sometimes don't. So if you can figure out a way to go ahead and be aware that some things are going to work out and some things are not, and that's okay. That just ain't for you. You know what they say? Yes lives in the land of no. And that means you're going to have to be approaching, taking some chances, seeing what happens, getting a little rejection. But the more rejection you get, the more likely you are to get to that special person or the one before the special person. Anyways, we are hoping that you take a chance. Dip your foot in the pool. Use a little extra chlorine. That's how you get rid of the urine. All right. We'll see y'all next time.
You can tell everybody.
Recording stop.
You can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe.
For the tri-state. 80.